Atlantic Environmental Movement. It started on a very small time in May, it did site on August 24th in 1970. And it started in a very auspicious way and continued in a way that was very divergent from the movement in many other countries where similar actions have taken place. And it was a fascinating case study of what can happen when people engage in a very militant tactic, but when rather than a handful of people engaging in the tactic, it's the entire population of a river valley, as was the case in the Laxá River Valley of northern Iceland. Rising volcano and the rising ash of the Snow River, rushing fast of the Snow River, going free, now and like it used to be. And now the dam, all out of sight, blown apart by dying light, blown apart by everyone in the land of the midnight sun. A hundred markers the next day, all around, so they could say, if you're looking for to lay, a hundred fires gave their name, said it was I, who couldn't just stand idle behind. They all knew that sometime, you must put them behind. There was a blast, a booming sound, and the day of change crashing down. In Reykjavik, voices shrill, said the man should be bigger still. By the Laxá riverside, a hundred farms would be blocked with ice. We will ever and protest fail, but they still had air on their sail. They had air and dynamite, so they gathered round me one new. There was a blast, booming sound, and the dandy crashing down. Prosecutors tried to choose which farmer had been accused, but not one would tell the tale, and not one farmer went to jail. The dam was never built again, and many still remember when by the Laxá River they set things right with a kiss of dynamite. There was a blast, a booming sound, and the plane crashing down. There was a blast, a booming sound, and the plane crashing down. Crashing down. So, I got prevented from entering New Zealand, and I was stuck in Tokyo. Food was great, too hot, but for a couple weeks, and trying to figure out how to get to Australia. And then I got an email from a friend in Brisbane that said there's a trial going on here for somebody who went trespassing on a military base in and he was Kieran O'Reilly was the guy in Brisbane, and he was I first met him when he was he had been one of the folks who trespassed onto the Shannon Airport in Ireland, where the U.S. war planes refueled on their way to the Middle East, and so at first he got here, and then the other cloud shares activists in Ireland, and actually they were all Irish except for him, he was Australian, but he kind of introduced them to the idea, and they all formed this cloud shares group. And so they trespassed onto the base there, onto the airport there, and they
they painted the warplanes orange because the media was claiming that the planes weren't there. There were no American warplanes. We do live in Shannon. So they painted them orange, and then when that still failed to the attention of the media or the authorities in terms of like what these planes were doing or whether it was constitutional or anything, then they came with the sledgehammers, and they did quite a lot of damage. So those jet planes, you know, the nose cones worth like $1 million, right? So you can really then after that, they were arrested, and so when I met Kieran and the others, they were all packed up, they had all moved out of their apartments, they were all getting ready to go to prison. And the verdict was going to come down the day after this bad concert in Dublin. And then I was driving across Ireland the next day, which was the RTE, and then came the news that they had all been found not guilty. Under the Irish Constitution, they're not allowed to play, they're not allowed to take sides in an international conflict, and clearly they were by having a refueling station there. And so Karen and I kept in touch for a long time after that, and then when I was first visiting New Zealand, I was going to do a tour in New Zealand, and I had never been there before, and I did land, and I did there successfully, and I was in a neighborhood of Auckland called Devonport, and I was, and Kieran told me he had a friend in Auckland, and all I knew about the guy was that he had taken a pickaxe onto the CIA spy base in White House and popped the bubble of the spy base. Because these spy bases are surrounded in bubbles that can be popped. And so they had popped this bubble, and $1 million were damaged, later got found not guilty, and so I wanted to meet these guys. They got found not guilty there for the same reason, because the New Zealand wasn't supposed to be a part of the international conflict. So I called the guy and I said, I was in town, and he knew I was in town and deferred, and so he was planning on getting together with me, and he said he'd take a ferry over to the neighborhood I was in. And I had never been to New Zealand before, and so I had this question on my mind, which is a question I have on my mind whenever I travel internationally, which is, if there's anywhere to get marijuana. I figured it's a modern era, it's a progressive country. I figured it would be okay to mention it over the phone. So I said, hey, do you have way to get any weed in this town? And he said, there was this silence, and he said, I'm a 68-year-old Catholic priest, and nobody's ever asked me that question. I started hanging out with so many Catholic priests until I got political, so then Karen was saying, there's this trial. I'll think something about that, too.
One revolution, one another bad rental here.
they found the power of suggestion. They found each other, asking the same questions. Who gave you the right to be a landlord? Who lived on my knees while I was poor and old? Who gave you the right to be a rich man? While the rest of us pay you to be in work, they'll spoil. They found they would stop their intellection. They found they could not match it to an end. And when one blew the skin horn of distress, he still found he had a thousand friends. Woo! With powerful curse, masks on their faces, on horseback, armed with knives and guns. They chanted and they yelled, they kept their arms, and they kept the sheriff on the run. They asked, who gave you the right to be a landlord? Well, it was like being a hard spoiled. Who gave you the right to be a rich man? While the rest of us pay you to leave your work to spoil.
Years before, but it had to be reached.
square. He was buried in Nova Scotia in a pile of alabaster. He might have been forgotten, but he'll forever be renowned. He's the man who burned the White House down. This is the 100th anniversary of another war, but much more deadly one than that. And the U.S. didn't join until 98 years ago, but 100 years ago, Europe was at war. Tens of millions, 20 million people died at the end, mostly young men, but loads of other people, including 300,000 Syrians who starved to death when the Allies blockaded the port of Damascus. And it was a war fought largely by democracies, like this one is supposed to be. And then other democracies, not just in this one, but in lots of others, the war was overwhelmingly unpopular, and the only way it could be prosecuted was by declaring martial law and suspending democracy, as happened here. And we elected, a guy with a great amount of passion of non-intervention in Europe. In Canada, half of the drafted men got medical exemptions. In Australia, they had two popular referendums against joining the war, and then Australia joined the war. So there's democracy in
Talking about the post office and going to Mount Holly today. talked about how people are drawn out of it, and you know, the
It's a fire!
involved in any interested aspects, you can talk to me, and have a great night, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you.